Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. He did a little impromptu speech today where he talked about Trump and said how he was just unfit and unqualified and the whole thing. So here is the sound clip. So this was earlier today.
I think what's been interesting is the repeated denunciations of his statements by leading Republicans, including the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader and prominent Republicans like John McCain. And the question I think that they have to ask themselves is, if you are repeatedly having to say in very strong terms that what he has said is unacceptable, why are you still endorsing him? And this is different than just having policy disagreements. I recognize that they all profoundly disagree with myself or Hillary Clinton on tax policy or on certain elements of foreign policy. But you know, there have been Republican presidents with whom I disagreed with, but I didn't have a doubt that they could function as president. I think I was right and Mitt Romney and John McCain were wrong on certain policy issues, but I never thought that they couldn't do the job. But that's not the situation here. And that's not just my opinion. That is the opinion of many prominent Republicans. There has to come a point at which you say, enough.
So that's Obama saying Trump is unfit. Unfit for president. Unfit! You know, I said this countless times. We're talking about words. You realize that? We're talking about words. When you listen to Obama or other individuals become outraged by Trump, it's words. Language. Remember, I told you this before. It's like the cool kids. You know what it reminds me of? And this is an old reference, and it's, again, very, not the billionaire status, so to speak, but I always talk about my own experiences growing up. But have you ever seen the Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School? This is what it's all so reminiscent about. And the whole Trump and Obama and Ryan, Mitch McConnell. And it's basically, once again, we have gone to the best Ivy League schools. We have trained like monkeys, serious, like organ grinder monkeys in the art of politics. It's an art form. It's an art form to say as little as possible, as much as you can, as far as a 5, 6, 7, 8 paragraph. Or 20 sentences. But out of that paragraph or out of those sentences, very little is either useful information, pertinent information, or just information that you specifically wanted to know. It's an art form. It's an art form. How to be able to pander. It's an art form. It's all an art form. Politics is an art form. Plain and simple. So you've got from Obama to, you know, to Paul Ryan, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush. It's an art form. All these pundits. It is something that they have studied. I mean, think about how many people. Look at John McCain. Here's a guy that's been in politics practically all of his life. You know, after Nam, he got into politics. So you got to figure practically all of his life. And when you get into politics, no different than when you're playing high school football or Pop Warner football, the dream is to be a Peyton Manning, a Walter Payton, a Joe Montana, a Joe Namath, an Emmett Smith. That's the dream. You don't get into politics and go, you know, I want to be a state assemblyman for the rest of my life. There's always that thing in the back of your head. It would be so awesome to be the president of the United States. If I was the president of the United States. So it's always in the back of one's head. And if you look at McCain, look how long it took him to finally get his shot. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that get into politics. Doesn't happen. You get people who have run in the primaries year after year. I mean, look at Joe Biden. Another example. Here's a guy that ...20 plus years. I mean, it's like every 4 years the guy was there. I mean, this is a guy that ran in the 80s. So this is something very, very, very serious to all of these individuals. Don't give that, it's the United States of America. It's a serious job. Please. Stop. Okay? Stop. Just stop. When you become president, there are so many people that are involved in the day-to-day operations. Seriously, there's so many people involved in the day-to-day operations. This whole, oh my gosh, the unfit. You're going to let him have the nuclear codes? Oh my gosh. He could just sit there and go, let's nuke Europe. I mean, come on. He'll make it where women can't vote anymore. I mean, it's asinine. It's asinine. Okay? It's asinine. So this is a business. Politics is a business. And people like Obama and McCain and all of these people. Have played this business to a T. And the presidency is the ultimate prize. That's the Super Bowl. And to many, getting to run is like getting to the Super Bowl for the first time. Yeah, you lose, but you were there. And here comes Trump, a guy who's not trained in the art of politics. He's not trained in the art of not answering a question. He's not trained in the art of three paragraphs to give you a yes or no answer. He just says yes or no. He says it like it is. He says it like it is. He talks like your everyday American. And him beating 16 Republicans that have hundreds and hundreds of years worth of political BS experience kills. It kills everyone in Washington. It kills them. It kills them. It makes them so mad they can't see straight. Pundits, it kills them. People like Anna Navarro or Donna Brazile, people that have worked on campaigns. People that have worked on campaigns who failed, campaigns that have failed, kills them because here comes this guy. And it's like the movie Back to School. Rodney Dangerfield, this billionaire, just this. You guys know, hey, oh, get no respect over here. Hey, oh, that's Rodney Dangerfield. His son goes to a prestigious school. Rodney Dangerfield, he flashy clothes, farts, burps. Never went to school at all. But created a clothing business. And has thousands of locations. Billionaire. The son is not doing good in school. He's going to drop out because he wants to be a swimmer, yada, yada, yada. Rodney Dangerfield goes back to school. And there's people in school that look at him like in disgust. You're uncouth. You have no, well, you know. You have no filter. What's wrong with you? Look down at it. He's not one of them. He's not one of them. He shouldn't be there. He doesn't talk proper. He doesn't act proper. And that's what it's like. Here's this billionaire. Here's this brash billionaire, this everyday, every guy billionaire, guy with no filter. Guy with no fit says whatever he says, whatever comes to him. He sits on his own private jet and eats Kentucky Fried Chicken. People just shake their head. People were mad. Do you realize how many of these people are mad? They Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's. It kills them. He's supposed to be eating quail and ostrich meat and it with fine crystal and kills them. Absolutely kills them. That's what it's about. It kills them. Here's this guy that is either a yes or no away from the presidency. And he hasn't played by the rules. He doesn't. Think about what this says about the political system. Think about what it says about the presidency. Think about what it says about our leaders when it's about acting a certain way. So basically what they're saying is, it's fine for Trump to be Trump. It's fine for that. But he shouldn't show that to people. He should be acting the way Obama acts. He should be acting the way Hillary Clinton acts. He should be acting the way Marco Rubio acts. He should be fake. What we see should be fake. When he's attacked, people say, well, he shouldn't attack back. That's not what a president does. But that's what a human being does. So you fake. Oh, you mean you should do what the president does, which is then sick the IRS. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, you shouldn't say anything. You just quietly do. I mean, that's what they're saying. But it's about being fake. It's about being fake. Because ultimately, he's still the same person. When you hear people say, oh, he just, you know, you would think he would do some reading and he would, study issues and he would at least put in effort. So you're fine, in theory, with somebody being Trump or whoever, somebody being a mongoloid. But as long as they give the appearance that they are, hello, how are you, then it's all fine. Isn't that wild? I mean, isn't that, we've always been taught to reject people that are fake. We've always been taught to reject people who are fake. You meet somebody when you're young or, middle-aged, office party, whatever, and you walk away and maybe one of your friends or your girlfriend, your wife, your boyfriend, whoever goes, so what'd you think about Bob? It's so fake. Yeah, he is, isn't he? Real fake. And now you have people like Obama and them are so mad because Trump is so real and they want him to be fake. I mean, that's what it's all about. So that's what it's all about. Gotta act fake. Gotta act fake. That's it. You can't sit there and look at a Muslim woman and say, wow, she doesn't speak. I wonder if she's not allowed to speak. Because, in their culture, they're not allowed to drive. They're not allowed to speak unless the man tells them to speak. They have to cover themselves up like she's covered up. They have to, genital mutilation. The list goes on and on. So you're supposed to just look and think these things in your head and not say these things in the open. You're not supposed to do that. And yet, that's the appeal of Trump. That's the appeal of Trump. The appeal is him being an ordinary guy. That's the appeal. The guy that eats Kentucky Fried Chicken on a $10 million private, I might even be more. I don't even know what a 747 is. I don't know what it's, you know, it's and that's what it's about. That's what it's about. When Obama says he's unfit to be listen, it just burns Obama up that Trump is a yes or no vote away from being the president. He's one vote away. He's a yes or no away from doing what he has done. And he has crafted and prepared. Now look at Hillary Clinton. She's 70 years old. Her whole life has been crafted and prepared for this moment. And here she is in a neck and neck against a guy who hasn't. A guy that's uncouth and he's been married 3 times. And his wife now posed half naked when she was in her 20s. And this guy eats Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bowls and McDonald's. He's not one of us. He doesn't vacation in Martha's Vineyard. All of the things that they all do, he doesn't do. And it burns them up. It burns them up that they are in a, you know, a life and death struggle. And nobody's going to die, but you know what I mean. I mean, these guys live and die on running for president or running for Senate or running for governor. And here comes Rodney Dangerfield. And that was the thing. Rodney Dangerfield was this billionaire. He was this successful billionaire. And yet you had all these people who didn't have the success of Rodney Dangerfield. But because they went to an Ivy League school and they talked like this and they were fake and they projected an image that is fake, they were better than him. It would show him throwing parties and people are whooping it up. And if you look at Trump rallies, they're fun. They're fun. There's tens of thousands of people. They are chanting. They're having a good time. You go to then Hillary Clinton. There's 1,000 people. Everybody's so serious. Listening to the same rehashed political garbage. We've got to do everything to raise everybody up. And what we got to do is tax the rich. That way when middle class has money, every everybody has money because the system is broke. The same crap that you've been hearing for 4 years, for 8 years, for 12 years. You would think things would be fixed. I mean, what Hillary Clinton is saying is what Barack Hussein Obama said 8 years ago. He just said it in a more charismatic, more personal, and at times funny way. But the whole middle class, tax the rich, education, opportunity, all of the guys, the rehearsed, what works politically, focus tested. It's all the same crap. What words to say, what words not to say. It's all the same messaging. It just is a different messenger. It's all the same stuff. It's all the same stuff. All the same stuff. All the same. It's just it. And yet, year after year after year, nothing gets done. I mean, it's just, it's, that's what kills them. Kills them. And it kills them because they know this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning of this type of politics. Like I said before, Trump is basically the prototype. He is. Trump is the prototype. He's the prototype. He's that first model. He's the first VHS player. He's the first DVD player. Remember the first DVD player you got? It was like $3,000 and it was like this big. I remember. And it was like, oh my God, DVDs. It is the greatest thing in the world. Oh my God. Ah. And then from there, people went, I just wish it was smaller. I wish it would do this. I wish it would do that. And that's what all of these political bigwigs are terrified. Aside from the fact that here's this guy, here's this Rodney Dangerfield that has come into our world, and he's beating us, and he's not supposed to beat us. Because we're smarter, we're classier, we're better connected. Why do people like him and not me? I'm Marco Rubio, damn it. Cuban blood in me. Why do people not want me? So that is one issue, and then the second issue is this Pandora's box that Trump is open, because now he's the prototype. Now people look at him and go, okay, this is what he did wrong. This is what he did right. This is what we don't do. This is what we improve on what he did, which was good, but could be better. And now you're going to see more people running for office that are not necessarily Harvard graduates, Princeton graduates, connected to this political family or that political family, or talks in these grandiose speeches and there and go, what did they just say? And instead, somebody that takes a guerrilla style approach. I mean, the guy that's running for Paul Ryan's seat in Wisconsin, if he got publicity, which it's obvious that they are basically killing the publicity, this Paul Nealon guy, I think his last name is Nealon, but he's very, very much cut in a Trump cloth. He's a businessman. He's got videos of himself riding a motorcycle, talking about arm wrestling. Paul Ryan, he did a bit where he's standing in front of Paul Ryan's multi-million dollar house. It has gates in front of it. He's talking about how Paul Ryan has a wall for his house. Why is he weak on a wall for America? Just very, very guerrilla, very in your face. If CNN, MSNBC, hell, even Fox, they actually put this guy on TV and gave him a push, Paul Ryan would be done. He'd be done. Be over for him. But that guy is just the start. That Paul Nealon is just the start. You're going to see more and more people coming out and bucking this political system because Trump has put this blueprint out there. And when you hear people go, oh, yeah, but, you know, Trump is on The Apprentice and he gets all this the free media. But Trump only got the free media, guys, for the things that he said, for the blunt talk, for saying the things that we all say to ourselves and that we wish somebody in politics would say. Like I said before, that's why TV shows like Veep and West Wing, all those political shows, why are they so popular? Because it shows the politicians acting like we know behind closed doors they act or how we want them to act. So when Julia Louis-Dreyfus goes, ah, F her, or call somebody a C, we're like, oh, that's great. And when Trump does it, we're like, yes, yes. Remember, 80% of the free media Trump got was the press bashing him, basically saying he's a Rodney Dangerfield. He's not educated. Wharton School, fine. Yeah, okay, whatever. He's not presidential enough. He doesn't do the things that you're supposed to do. He doesn't act a certain way. Look what he said. That's horrible. I mean, the media gave him 80% of this media time to bash him. But the popularity was, oh, so Lindsey Graham, you want to say something about me? You want to go out here and say something? You want to do a little shoot? Okay. Well, I'm gonna one-up you. And then he goes up there and goes, yeah, hey, everybody. Lindsey Graham, he's a loser. He's got 0% in the polls. And months ago, he was my best friend. Months ago, he would call him, cry me, cry, cry. Get me on TV. Get me on Fox and Friends. Please, please, please. Matter of fact, I still got his number. Here it is, everybody. You want Lindsay's number? Call him up. See what kind of a horrible person. Say, tell him he's doing a bad job. That was an amazing, amazing moment. That was an amazing moment. That was an amazing moment in politics. Because in politics, we've all come to know, what we've all come to believe, what we've all been taught, what we've been told. Somebody goes, I think that person is not qualified. I think that person doesn't know enough about policy. Thank you. And then the other person goes, I would respectfully disagree, the senator from. So that's what everybody's used to. That's what everybody's been trained at. And Trump comes along and goes, yeah, well, he's a jerk off. He's an a-hole. He's a loser. And here's his phone number. Call him up. Tell him he's a jerk off and an a-hole. People are like, wow, that was awesome. Because that's us. Now, the elites could say, that's not us. That's not, no, that is us. Remember what I've said before. It's we the people. I mean, I know I'm not an Ivy Leaguer. Listen. When somebody says, you know, Rob Zicari's an a-hole, Rob Zicari's a this, I don't ignore it. I don't go, I respectfully disagree with what you said about me. You go to him, what'd you say I am? I'm an a-hole. You're an a-hole. Matter of fact, your whole family's an a-hole. You'll always be an a-hole. That's not what our senators are supposed to be. That's not what our president is supposed to be. Would you want your president to walk up to a foreign leader and say you're an a-hole? You know, they jump from, the 5-yard line to the end zone. I mean, that's what they do. Because the people that run our government are arrogant. They are arrogant a-holes. They are. They're arrogant a-holes. They're elitists. They don't want anybody to be part of the government. They don't want we the people in the government. That's why they make it where someone like John McCain is a senator for 20-plus years. Why Chuck Schumer is a senator for 20-plus years. That's why there's no term limits. Can you imagine if you had term limits? Can you imagine what our democracy, what our country would look like if you had term limits? If you sat there and said, okay, senators serve 8 years. That's it. You get in, there's no re-election. That's it. 8 years. Do you know how phenomenal our country would be running if senators and House members had term limits where there was no re-election? Where you get a 6-year and an 8-year term. That's it. After that, you're out. And when you hear somebody go, yeah, but, you know, you don't want to do that because if the senator you know, they're a good senator. You don't want to lose that senator. You don't want, so they're the only one that is qualified. They're the only one. That's a very elitist statement. When somebody says, well, what if you get a great senator like Barbara Boxer? Well, and after 8 years, you'll have another great senator. Yeah, but what if they're not as good as what? They will be, okay? They will be. All the people that were like, Bill Clinton, what if there's never going to be a better Bill Clinton? And then you got Obama, okay? All right. Oh, Abraham Lincoln, what if there's never another Abraham Lincoln? Yeah, you did, okay? But they don't want that. The elites don't want that. The elites don't want that. We're not smart enough. We're not smart enough. We're not smart enough. That's the problem. That's the problem. Not smart enough. Not smart enough. Obama, he's unfit. Like I said, I would rather have a president that says what he says. Seriously, I'd rather have a president that has colorful language. I would rather have a Rodney Dangerfield as the president than a Hillary Clinton who is like, God, almost like a Manchurian candidate, almost like somebody that purposely works to sabotage an organization, a job. I mean, look at the actions. When Obama says, because of the words he uses, but Hillary Clinton is fit. Look at the things that she's done. You know, liberals kind of laugh about the whole server thing, but, you know, just think about this. Well, you know, other Secretary of States, they've all done, no. Having a Hotmail account, okay, having a Yahoo account along with your .gov, the same as setting up a private communication. Guys, look at this way, and you know what, maybe liberals won't understand this or even care, because that's what kind of people they are. But what Hillary Clinton did is no different. Let me try to get it to a street level for some of you. It's no different than your wife or your husband having a second cell phone fall out of their pocket. And you picking it up and going, what is this? And they go, what is it? It fell out of your pocket when you were sitting in the chair. This isn't your cell phone. Your cell phone is over there on your charger. What cell phone is this? You don't have a job that's required to have two cell phones. You're a school teacher. You're a bus driver. You're a coal miner. Why do you have a another cell phone. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that Hillary Clinton did. If she's not doing anything shady, then what does it matter? What does it matter? What email address she has, what does it matter? You want to have a separate email so you could do yoga rehearsals, or you can talk about Netflix? Cool. Hillary Clinton at MSN.com. Hillary Clinton at Hotmail.com. There you go. You only set up a server in your basement in a smelly bathroom. You only do that if you're involved in something shady. Just like you would only have a second phone if you're doing shady things. If you have a girlfriend or you have a boyfriend. It's the only reason you have a second phone. It's the only reason. If a second cell phone falls out of your girlfriend's pocket, she's doing something shady. Plain and simple. So when you talk about not qualified, unfit, I would say doing things that are so shady and so secretive is unfit and unqualified over somebody talks brash. Or says, huh, wonder if that Muslim woman is not allowed to speak. And I base that off of the culture of women from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, United Arab Emirates. The list goes on, all the Arab countries. So, which one is worse? Looking at a woman wrapped and say, I wonder if she's allowed to speak. Setting up secret communication devices so you could do business that you don't want anybody to see while you're serving as Secretary of State. I mean, come on. I mean, if Hillary Clinton's doing this as Secretary of State, what do you think she's going to do as president? What do you think she's going to do as president? Exactly. That's why when you see Bloomberg, that's why when you see Buffett, that's why when you see Cuban, it's all about Trump. It's not about Hillary. It's all about Trump. Trump is scum. Trump is bad. Trump is evil. What do you say about Hillary? Oh, when she did that in Libya. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, when she did that with. Okay. Let's see here. What do you say? The only thing you could say is, remember 40 years ago when she helped cripple kids? Yeah. And I even read somewhere that that was bogus, that that bill was already signed and it was already in motion before Hillary Clinton glommed onto it. And I mean, let's be honest here. That bill she did with the 9/11, the money she got 9/11 in her little video, when she talked about George Bush and I went to the White. I mean, listen, a retard could have went to the White House after 9/11. While the bodies are still smoldering in the come on now. A retard could have went there and said, "Yeah, Mr. President, we need $20 billion. We need 20 mil, whatever the hell the price tag was. We need." What do you think Bush is gonna go? Nah, I'm not gonna give it to you. Come on. Like, that was an accomplishment. And then I went to the White House and I got the money for New York. Oh, please. The world's worst senator could have got that money. A non-senator could have got that money. Hillary Clinton has not accomplished anything in her life. The Clintons have just gotten lucky. I mean, seriously, just like when they talk about Bill Clinton. Oh, the economy. Do you realize that if George Bush wouldn't have looked at his watch like a putz, okay, he would have still been president, and he would have presided over tens of millions of new jobs. Because he would have presided over the tech boom. He would have presided over the internet. Again, Clinton was lucky. Hillary, come on. Go through the accomplishments. There's nothing. And Obama talks about unfit. Are you kidding me? Like I said, everything that is in question about Trump is about what comes out of his mouth. Oh, how could he have said that? How could he have said that? He can't say that. That's not presidential. That's not. Somebody go to Princeton. Somebody go to Harvard. Somebody, they not do it. And here's Hillary Clinton, private email servers, selling access. And we're going to get into that tomorrow. That's going to be a fun day. We're going to get into more of the Schweizer book, the Clinton cash. We're going to get into that.